desire and interest in your prayers this evening. I'm encouraged tonight with the verse that says, "And I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And that includes every one of us tonight. Thankful that the Lord is a big enough God that He knows each one of our names. He's willing to call all of us by name. And you know, at the end of the day, the conclusion of everything, I believe these songs that we've heard tonight bear this out. He's what we need. He's really what we need. We strive and look for a lot of things in life. A lot of people give their time and their energy, their affection to a lot of things, but when all is said and done, what we really need is the Lord. And I'm so glad that He has an expected end for me, and I'm glad that He went a little bit farther to make that available for me. Because when I was yet in sin, Christ died for me. When I wasn't worthy, the Lord was willing to come down and make a sacrifice that would cover whatever it was that I had done contrary to truth. And He was willing to come down, pay the price, that I might have an expected end. He doesn't think evil towards me, but He has thoughts of peace. And tonight, I want to be willing to go a little farther for Him. I want to be willing to go farther for the Lord. I want to go as far as it takes to be in His presence. I'd like to start tonight in the 19th chapter of Matthew. I've written on the board, "Follow hard after the Lord." Matthew 19, we'll start at the 16th verse. I'd like to read a few verses. "And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" That's kind of the focus of our meeting. "Lord, what must I do to be saved? I want to be saved, Lord. It's worth everything to me. I don't want to be lost. If a man would gain the whole world and lose his soul, what does he profit? What would you give in exchange for your soul?" Do you have an answer to that tonight? I don't. There is nothing that I would give in exchange for my soul. And I will tell you tonight that when we meet the Almighty God at the judgment, there is nothing that we would be able to stand up there and say, "I know I'm going to lose my soul tonight, but I'm so glad that I was able to have what I had in life. I'm so glad that I got to do what I got to do." There's not going to be a person, one, that has that testimony. So when this man came to Jesus, I believe that he was serious in his heart. He wanted to know, "Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto him, "Which?" So he wanted to know. He wanted some specific answers from the Lord. He didn't want to go home and then lay down in his bed and say, "Well, what commandments was he talking about? I'm going to go have to find him again. Because I want to know what commandments he's talking about to find out where I am relative to what I need to do to be saved." Well, I want to know the same thing tonight, don't you? "Which ones?" Jesus said, "Well, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, don't bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself." Was the man satisfied yet? He wasn't. "The young man saith unto him, Well, all these things have I kept since my youth. What lack I yet? Lord, I'm not satisfied yet. Lord, you've outlined some commandments here. Some works, if you will. There's some works that the Lord just outlined. You need to do these works if you want to be saved. And And the man said, well, I've done all of these things. But he wasn't satisfied yet. He wasn't satisfied yet. And so he kept pushing a little bit further. Lord, but what else? Lord, what must I do to be saved? These commandments everybody hears. What do I need to do to be saved? I don't want to be lost, Lord. What must I do? Well, there was an answer. And Jesus said, all right, if you want to know, there's one thing that you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Always felt sorrowful for that man. Said he had great possessions. In the 27th verse it said, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit at the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake. In other words, whoever is willing to leave all of the things that are the most important to you to follow after me, you'll have a hundredfold and you'll obtain eternal life. When I was a senior in high school, I was in a class, went to class one day, and the teacher called me out in front of the whole class. And she started out by saying, Mr. Smith. Well, those two words right there are the first clues that something's getting ready to happen that's not real good. That tone, the word Mr. in front of Smith when she was the teacher and I was the student. I didn't think it was going to go too well, and I was right. She said, Mr. Smith, in front of the whole class, I'm disappointed in you. She said, you're not given everything to this class. You have more to give than what you're giving. And regrettably, I answered her in front of the class. And I told her that it was because I had some other priorities that were more important to me. And that really, all I was endeavoring to do was make the grade. I wasn't so interested in making as high a grade as I could get. I was interested in making the minimum that I had to do to get the grade that I wanted to get. I apologized to her later and endeavored to live up to the standards that she was imposing on me. But I've never forgotten that account. I've never forgotten that. Mr. Smith, I'm disappointed in you. You're not doing everything that you could do. Your heart's not in it, Mr. Smith. You're qualifying. You're making the grade. But you have more to give and you're not giving it. This account that we just read, there's a lot of things we could get out of this account, and a lot of good lessons can be taken away from it. From the man not willing to give all, to the potential detriment that riches can have in somebody's life, to the thing that the Lord pointed to that was specific to that man's life that maybe wasn't spelled out in the law. And all of those are good and applicable lessons and messages that we want to get a hold of. But I think tonight, I want to especially notice The first question that the man asked, and the last thing that the Lord said. The man came and he said, Lord, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And you know what the last thing was that the Lord said to him? Come and follow me. And sometimes I feel like we might spend too much time focusing on the work that the Lord pointed out in this account and maybe miss the instruction that God was really wanting us to get. And that was that, you know, selling everything that the man had and giving it to the poor, the Lord wasn't just interested in getting one more work at the bottom of the list that the man had already accumulated. He had already completed a lot of works, good works, necessary works, works that were required and needful to get into heaven. And the Lord wasn't so interested, well, you know, sir, it requires 67 works to get into heaven, and you're at 66, and the one you're missing is 67. That wasn't what the Lord was getting at. See, what the Lord was getting at was a broader, bigger message. Sir, what I really want from you, I want you to follow me. That's what I really want from you. I want you to do whatever it takes to come and follow me. And there's this one thing in your life that's hindering you from coming and following me. It's not that works aren't important, because they are. But at the end, God wants us to live our life so that our purpose is, oh Lord, I want to follow you. I want to know where you are. Lord, I don't want to just stand in the synagogue as the Pharisee did and say, Lord, I thank you, Father, that I fast twice a week. I give of my goods to the poor and I do all these wonderful, and I'm not as this publican over here. I want to be as the publican that's over there and saying, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, the most important thing is, yes, Lord, I want to do these things. I want to do the things that are required to make heaven. But at the end, I want it to be said of me that my purpose is that I want to follow you. I want to see your face. I want to feel your presence. I don't want to have to feel like I'm trying to earn my way into heaven, because I can't. You're trying to earn your way into heaven tonight? That's a not a very peaceful life. Because you can't earn your way into heaven. It doesn't work. You don't have enough goods on hand to earn your way into heaven by good works. It's more than that. The Lord is saying to us, Come follow me. Well, the word come means that you are leaving one thing to go to another. I mean, that's the definition of it. I mean, if you look at it implicitly, that's what you're doing. When someone says, come here, well, what they mean is, come from where you are and come to me. And the Lord, oh, He's extending such a beautiful invitation to all of us. And He comes by our way and He calls our names and He says, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. And you know, in the world though, we are so accustomed to this median of exchange, and it's this for that. And well, you give me $5 and I'll give you $5 worth of jelly beans. Or you give me a few $1,000 and I'll give you this car. And when the transaction's over with, it's done. It's over with. If you go to school and you take these classes and you work really hard, at the end of that time, we'll give you a diploma with your name on it, and it's a degree, and nobody can take it away from you, and you're done. You go on your way and you're done. And sometimes we try to do that, I fear, with the Lord. What we try to do is we try to qualify, if you will, our salvation. We try to do the things that we're supposed to do so that we can say, okay, I got it. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, and I don't go here, and I dress this way, and I go to church here with these people, and I don't watch this, and I listen to, they're all needful if you want to be a child of God. But there's no peace in that, because in the end, what God wants from us is He wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk to your hearts in the quiet times. When you're driving down the road, He wants to fill your cup up and He wants it to overflow. And He doesn't want your focus so much to be on, okay, did I get everything? Yes, you want to get everything from the standpoint, Lord, have I done everything that I need to do so that I can follow You? See, that's the end game. It's to follow the Lord. Now, when Michael and I were talking and I was making plans to come to Springfield, well, when I decided we're going to come to Springfield, I know I'm going to need gas in the car. My car uses some oil, so I'm going to need to go put some extra oil in it. I need to pack some clothes. Follow me. These are all required works to get to Springfield. I need to rearrange my schedule. And I could do all of those things. But what do you think would happen if the first night of the meeting came and I wasn't here? Michael calls me up and says, Rod, it's 7:00. Where are you? Well, I'm here at home. I'm here at home. But Michael, I just want you to know I packed my bags. They're sitting by the front door. I've got gas in the car. I've put oil in the car. My schedule has been cleared. I just want you to know I did it all. Michael's like, yeah, but what good did that do you? You're not here. You missed the point of it all. You see, all of those things were required to get to Springfield. But I missed the point that what really needs to happen is I need to do whatever it takes to get to Springfield. That's my end destination, see, is to get to Springfield. It's not do all of those works so that I can go do something else. And then someone says, hey, are you holding the meeting? Yep, I've packed my bags, I've got my schedule cleared, I've studied, I've got 5 messages that the Lord's blessed me with. But you weren't there. Where were you? Yeah, but I did all these. You see what I'm saying? There's no peace in that life. The law had a purpose, but it wasn't the end game. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, He wanted us to get a hold of something that was way deep down in our hearts, so that what we really wanted to do was not try to memorize all of these things and then be fearful of the one that we missed. What He really wanted from us was to have a relationship with Him. He wanted us to come and follow Him. And if there were things that get in the way as I'm following the Lord, maybe there's not scripture and verse that says, thou shalt move the tree out of the path. Well, there's a tree in the path. There's nothing that says I have to move the tree. I guess this is where it ends. It doesn't have to say that. The scriptures let me know my intent, my purpose, follow the Lord. If I need to move a tree out of the way, move the tree out of the way. If you have a weight in your life that's getting in the way of you serving the Lord, get rid of the weight. You don't have to have, you know, everybody in the congregation stack hands and agree that, okay, this is the rule that's going to apply. You may need that rule in your life. There may be some rules you don't need. All the ones in the Bible you do need. See, the Lord put some standards of protection for us and said, hey, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to go to Springfield, you're going to need gas, you're going to have oil in your car, you need to have some clothes, you're going to have to start driving. Those things you're going to have to do. And then, oh, by the way, if you run into road construction, you just need to do whatever you need to do, and I'll help you find a way to get there. But don't turn around and go back and say, well, I did everything I was supposed to do. I can't help this. Because what you want to do is you want to end up at the end destination. And the Lord wants to have a beautiful relationship with us so that He can talk to your heart. So that He can bless you in the times that maybe you're low. And when you're sick, the Lord can come down and give you some healing. And you have power in your heart and in your soul. That when you're at work and you're having a hard time, the Spirit of the Lord can come along. Say, I'm right here, Rod. I'm right here. And when you're tempted, the Holy Spirit says, be strong. Thank you, Lord. You see, the Lord wants us to come and follow Him. He wants that to be the intent of our heart and our life. I'd like to read a verse in Micah, the 6th chapter. Micah 6:6 says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to what? Walk humbly with thy God. That is what the Lord wants from us. This was a time under the law where they had rules, they had laws, they had things that they needed to qualify to. But even under the laws, the Lord was saying to them, oh, folks, listen, I have a plan. I have a plan here that goes beyond following a list of rules. I want to get into your heart. I want your obedience. I want you to love mercy like I love mercy. I want you to do right to other people. And I want you to walk with me. I want to have a relationship with you. That's why He's come and He's called you by name. Sweetly, with mercy, with long-suffering. Come follow me. Me? You're calling me? You remember when you were in school and they were picking teams and they had two captains and everybody lined up and there were those that, you know, might be a fraud. Is anyone going to pick me? And then when someone says, I want you. Me? Me? Yeah, I want you. And you feel so good about that. But do you know the difference when God comes along? Oh, the God of heaven and the God of earth. And He comes and He speaks your name. And you think, I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. I am just me. And the Lord says, you, come. Come follow me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come and follow Him. He wants you to get your eyes off of, well, what exactly do I have to do exactly to be saved? What is it that what don't I have to do to be saved? I want to say this. Works, they're important. And James spoke to that fact. And I want you to get my thought tonight and don't misunderstand me. Some people use this concept of faith, which is critical to our salvation, to absolve themselves from any responsibility of works. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Well, you know, the Lord paid the price. I can't pay it. And so then they want to just put it all off on the Lord and then go live however it is that they want to live. But we do have a responsibility. James said, well, that's a dead faith. Faith without works, that's no relationship with God. You're just still trying to live under the law and you don't even have a relationship with Him. Listen, the Lord sets the table. I can't pay for what He puts on the table. Grace, power, mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, the power and the presence that the Lord is willing to give me, He puts that on the table. I can't pay for it. He bought it with His shed blood. But I want to tell you something. We have a responsibility to come to the table. The Lord's not going to go out and chase us all around, force-feeding us the power that He has, force-feeding us the grace that He has, force-feeding us the way of a Christian. It's your responsibility, and it's my responsibility, to be willing to come. Lord, where are you? I want to be where you are. Are you following the Lord tonight? Are you following the Lord tonight because you want to, or because you feel like you have to? See, there's this thing of want to versus have to. The Lord doesn't want you to feel like, well, I have to. Well, these are the church rules. This is what I have to do. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him that the further we go, the more wonderful it becomes. Lord, I want to live this way. I like living this way. I'm doing this because I want to, because I find that it's allowing me to follow you. And oh Lord, I want you to be by my side when I get to the end of the way. Where are we tonight? Are you following hard after the Lord? Are you following hard after the Lord? You know, we don't always like to follow. Sometimes we like to go our own way. But I want to say this quickly. The Lord's not interested in us going our own way and then having a really loud testimony when we're over here and the Lord's over there. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people, they start straying away from the Lord and their testimony gets louder? I've seen it. I've seen it multiple times. The Lord, that's not what He wants. He doesn't want us to go off on our own and then in one area of our life that we're okay with, we start becoming very vocal about the Lord and Christianity, and maybe we even start sacrificing some things we never sacrificed before. Listen, the Lord wants you to be where He is. That's what He wants. How would my wife like it if I went my own way and then sent her praise and maybe send her some flowers while I'm off not being faithful to her? I'm off over here somewhere, but I'm sending her stuff. She doesn't want the flowers. She wants me. She wants a relationship with me. God doesn't just want your works. He wants you to do the work so that you can be where He is. That's what He wants. He wants your heart. Are you willing to give? Have you given Him your heart? Or do we live because we're afraid of missing heaven and so we spend a whole lot of time just seeing what we have to do to be saved? There's a verse in Jeremiah 29 and 13 that talked about seeking the Lord with all of our heart. It's not a casual search. See, living for the Lord isn't, you don't just get it done and then you're done and then you go to something else. Living for the Lord is a way of life. You live for the Lord. Think about it that way. So are you living for the Lord? Yeah, I'm living for the Lord. Well, He wants us to live for Him. You see the difference? He wants us to get up in the morning, and no matter what it is we do, He wants us to live for Him. It's not casual. We're going to have to give all of our heart to it, whatever it takes. The psalmist said in the 63rd Psalm, 8th verse, "My soul followeth hard after Thee." Not "my soul followeth hard after being qualified." It's not "my soul follows hard after understanding and doing all the right work so that the Lord can't say, I can't come in." But the psalmist said, "Lord, my soul followeth hard after Thee. One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I might behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired." Not, "Well, Lord, I've got all these things I'm trying to do, and I got the checklist, I got all the works, and now my focus is on these things that I want to do." David said, "No, one thing have I desired, and that's what I'm going to seek after." You only have so much time in a day. You can only seek after so many things. God wants your heart. He wants you to follow Him. Why? So He can make life difficult? No! So He can save you. So He can fill that void that's down in your heart. He's the answer to all your problems. Our Lord's the answer to all our needs. He's the best friend we could have. And He wants to have an alive, active relationship with you. Do you have an alive, active relationship with the Lord tonight? Is it alive? Is your focus on doing whatever it takes to follow the Lord? Oh Lord, I want to keep You in my sight. Whatever it takes, Lord. Or is it, there's no sin in that. No one can tell me that's sin. I haven't had a person yet show me scripture and verse for that. Sometimes it's more subtle than that. It's not always that hard. But we can deceive ourselves sometimes and start to feel a sense of security because we've done these certain things and maybe nobody can quite point out what's wrong. And yet we have a longing in our hearts that the Lord wants to fill. The Lord wants to fill that longing. That's why He came. He died on the cross, shed blood. Sometimes I think we read over that too quickly. In some of the accounts it says, and they scourged Him, and then they moved Him somewhere else, and in the matter of one sentence He was scourged. That was a painful, long, agonizing scourging. And He didn't have to do it. He did it because He wanted you to be able to come follow Him. He wanted to make right what was wrong in your life. Because he knows there's a lot wrong in our lives. And He wanted to pay the price for you. And He wanted to be able to sit down and talk with you and commune with you and have a relationship and help you through the trouble in life. And when you fall down because you're weak and maybe you don't have the power that you need, He wants to be right there to pick you up. He wants to be there that when you lift your hand up, you stepped outside of the boat and started headed after Him. Lord, I want to go where You are. I don't really understand how I'm going to get there, but Lord, can I come where You are? You know, Peter was the only one that stepped out of that boat. He gets a bad rap for sinking. All the rest of them were watching him. They were all still inside the boat. Peter was willing to get out of the boat. Lord, I want to come where You are. Can I come where You are? Lord, I want to have part of that. Come on. Come on, Lord said. Come on, I'll help you walk on water. You want to walk on water tonight? The Lord wants you to walk on some water. I believe the Lord has some victories for you that maybe you've never experienced because you're not wanting to get outside of the boat and just go where He is. You're trying to figure out all the reasons and the justifications for staying inside the boat where you are. There's nothing that says I have to go out in the water. Lord never said I had to step over the side of the boat. And so that's maybe the level of blessing that you get. Do you remember the story? We won't turn and read it because of time, but the story of, was it King Joash and Elisha? I believe it was. Where Elisha was getting ready to die, remember? And Joash was afraid and he was scared because what was going to happen? The man of God was getting ready to go. And so he was asking for the blessing of Elisha. And Elisha said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Pick up a bow. So Joash picked up a bow. And he said, now pick up some arrows. And he picked up some arrows. He said, now open the window towards the east. So he opened the window towards the east. And they said, now shoot an arrow out that way. So he shot an arrow out that way. See, he was doing just exactly what he was being told to do. This is the rhythm that he got in. And then his expected end, that the man of God wanted to communicate to him was communicated. You're going to have victory. This is the expected end for you. You're going to be able to go forward and you're going to be able to conquer and the victory is going to be yours. Now take one of those arrows right now, right there and smite the ground. And so he took the arrow out and he hit the ground 3 times and then he stopped. And it said that Elisha was wroth because he stopped. He said, you should have hit the ground more times than that. You stopped. You were just following directions. In other words, you were just doing almost the minimum. You should have given your heart to it. You should have gone all out. But because you didn't, your victories are going to be limited. The Lord doesn't want us to have limited victories tonight. The Lord wants you to have... He wants you to have one of those testimonies when you sit in the pew and somebody gets up and has a ringing testimony of how the Lord blessed him. And you know, sometimes you sit there and say, Lord, I wish I could have a testimony like that. I haven't felt the blessing of the Lord like that. I wish that could apply to me. It can. It is for you. Step over the side of the boat. Yeah, but I might start to sink. If you're headed towards the Lord, what better place to sink than heading towards the Lord? If I'm going to sink, I want to be heading towards the Lord. And I can reach my hand up and say, Lord, save me. Lord, I lost my faith, but I was trying. And next time, maybe I won't lose my faith. And the Lord was right there and he reached down his hand and he picked up. He didn't say, well, there you go. You should have had faith. I showed you. You were walking on the water. That's the end of you. And then look up at the people who are still on the side of the boat and said, good job, folks. You stayed on that side of the boat. I don't read that in the Bible. I read where Peter was willing to get out of the boat and get out into the water and head for Jesus. And we have all been blessed by that story. He walked on water. And when he sunk, Jesus picked him up and he saved him. I want to walk on some water. I want to be willing to exercise some faith that maybe I haven't been willing to try to exercise before. I want to focus on following Jesus. I want to hear His voice when He calls, Rod, come follow me. I can hear the Savior calling. I want to heed the call. Lord, were you calling me? Yes, I was. Yeah, but Lord, it's me. I'm not like the rest of them. Lord, I've fallen. Are you sure it's me? Yes, it's you. Come follow. The Lord wants to give us the water of life freely. We can't pay for it. We can't earn it. But you can't drink it if you're not close to where the Lord is. You gotta go where He is. That needs to be your intent. That needs to be the purpose of your life, is follow hard after the Lord. Strike the ground with all of your heart, with a sense of urgency. Lord, I want to follow you. Sometimes the Lord comes by our way and He knocks and He says, Mr. Smith, my child, disappointed in you because you're not giving everything. Yeah, but Lord, I'm making the grade. I'm hitting all the commandments. What's wrong? Yeah, but Rod, you can follow me closer than that. You have more in you. There's more that you can give me. I have blessings I want to give you. I've got them right here. I want to give them to you. Come closer. Come a little closer. Let me give these to you. I want to gain eternal life. Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life? By the truth. Invest in the truth. Don't sell it. Don't partition it out. Don't substitute it for something else. You hold on to it, bind it about your neck, write it on the tables of your heart. If the truth's going to be taken, then you go right along with it. You take it all the way to your grave and invest until you're fully persuaded. It's important enough to dig into this deep enough until you're persuaded and that the Lord's blessing will come down on you. And it's going to require us to follow hard after the Lord. But it's not a hard way from the respect that it's, Lord's not up there trying to see, you know, just how much He can take out of us. And then I guess I have to give Him a blessing because they qualified. They made the mark. No. The Lord paid such a high price for our salvation. He just wants us to come follow. Are you willing to come follow tonight? Have you not given the Lord your all? Maybe you've followed in most areas. Maybe you've pretty much done the things you've been asked to do, but maybe you're just hitting the ground three times with the arrow, and the Lord's gently saying, hey, I tell you what, hit the ground a few more times, and I'll give you some more victories. Those places in your life that you're lacking and you're kind of wondering why, refocus on just following me. Make that your priority and not so much just qualifying to be saved. Change your perspective, Lord. I just want to follow you, Lord, wherever it takes me. And if we do that tonight, I'm confident that the Lord will bless your soul and that we will experience the expected end that the Lord has for us. Pray for me, only truth.